Hello, my name is Maria Topp, and I'm a Duke student. Welcome to the podcast for the National Museum of Art at Duke University.
Shady Promise brings up a good jumping off point to like your larger installation in the space.
Shady Promise was essentially a time when I felt like I was getting a lot of shady promises given to me. And I created this tree that grows, but it grows right back into the earth. It kind of doesn't...
It is, like you said, this tree that connects two different parts of this diptych, and it's all about the roots because it's not going anywhere. So it's about where one is rooted or not rooted or rooted in multiple places.
Right.
But you've also taken
it all about the roots. I didn't think about it that way.
Or that's
right.
How I read it.
That's wonderful.
It's not like you told me that.
Did I?
Don't take that literally. But thinking of this tree structure and the rooting structure and how you've articulated it in the installation itself, mm-hmm. Where did that idea come from? When did you first start working with this idea of the root structure and turning it into a three-dimensional aspect come alive in the space?
Well, I'm the daughter of a gardener. My mom loves to garden, and she loves to... Her creativity comes out through her gardening. And so I grew up around a lot of beautiful trees and beautiful plants. I was used to that imagery around me and that those organisms around me. But the blankets, which I call them blankets, I don't call them, people say felt and all manner of things, but I don't. It's not a Joseph Beuys influence, really. I love Joseph Beuys, but I didn't think about him immediately when I saw these blankets. It was because work was returned to my studio wrapped in bubble wrap or whatever it was. And then on top of that were these blankets. And I remember thinking, oh my God, these blankets are used in wealthy countries for art. They used to cover, and at home, being Nairobi, Kenya, these are blankets used by people, you know.
Right.
They're considered rescue blankets, essentially, especially here, but...
Used in humanitarian
exactly,
in agencies.
Precisely. And then and the weight varies. If it's a cool weather, you'll find that the ones from the temperate region are thicker, and then the tropical regions are much lighter. And I love the different textures, but these blankets are not... they're not used for objects to cover and transport objects. They're used for what I think blankets were made for. So I immediately went in and grabbed them and started, and they brought back memories, because I've seen old people in the countryside wearing them, sort of like a shawl, and I've seen poor people use them as blankets to sleep on. And I used them in my work, and I just started kind of molding them, and they behave a little bit like a thick skin, like a sort of an elephant skin, if you've ever carved with elephant skin. But no, they have this wonderful tactile quality about them that that I just love. And I think, again, there's that impulse in me to always sort of bridge the things that I'm, that kind of warm my heart. But it's hard to find objects that translate and material that translates culturally across, I find a lot of things that you use in Kenya on a daily basis. You don't necessarily find them here in this sort of wealthy, kind of rich manufacturing culture where things get thrown away immediately. So that was one of the things I was like, okay, I have to use this because it's shown up in these two worlds that I exist in. The instant I started using them, they started to look a little bit like roots, a little bit like skin, and a lot like themselves. I mean, there's so many things that I've done with them, but I think this, for me, has been one of the most satisfying things, because the tree is such a big part of our creation story, Kikuyu creation story is my particular people, not just Kenyan creation story. And the tree is this holy place. It's actually a Mogumo tree. It's this massive mama tree. It's like its girth is big. You never kind of just pick up a branch of a Mogumo tree. If you see it fall and leave it, it's that holy. And people traditionally, this is not my time, I didn't find these kinds of rituals, would place objects and ritualistic kind of gifts around the tree. And so the tree comes back again and again as a sort of a place for contemplation and to remember those that have passed, and also to recreate history. There's something about the tree to me that I identify with and almost feel like is the original gallery, the original place of thought and creation.
This podcast was brought to you by the National Museum of Art at Duke University.